Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. And joining me from Chase Center is Warriors writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, Connor Letourneau. And we are here recapping the Golden State Warriors' 112-94 loss to the Sacramento Kings, dropping the Warriors now to 0-3 against the Kings. One more matchup in the final game of the season. Boy, have things gotten real for the Warriors. You're 0-3 against the Kings in one season. Who would have thought this ever would have happened?
I mean, there's a lot of things that should make this a reality. I guess 0-3 against the Kings is just one of many. Look, the Kings aren't even having a good season given a lot of the talent that they have on the court. But they're in a much better spot, at least at this moment, than the Warriors. That being said, if I could be the front office of either team, I'd prefer to be the front office of the Warriors just because I think they have a much brighter future heading into next season.
And part of that future is going to be Marquese Chriss, who started at center. He missed one game with a calf injury, returned from that game, and continued a stretch of this couple-month stretch, as Steve Kerr put it after the game, of really impressive play. And, I mean, look, the wins and losses don't really matter, whether it's to the Kings or whoever, right? But you found a player in Marquese Chriss who you signed to a training camp deal, and he's signed four different contracts with the Warriors this season, and really does look like he is establishing himself not only as a piece, but maybe as their starting center next season. Do you see him like that?
I do, actually, and he's really proven that to me just in the past couple weeks. I was always in the camp that this is a guy who's going to be a piece for them next season, but starting center, I'm not sold, but you know, he's come on so strong, and since they got rid of Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III, they've really needed more scoring from their complementary pieces, and he's helped fill that void. And it's not so much that he's filled that void. To me, it's how he's filled that void, because he hasn't been chucking up three-pointers. He hasn't been, you know, chucking up mid-range shots like he did in Phoenix. He's just been getting to the hoop, throwing down lobs, throwing down two-handed dunks, running the floor. And that is a role that's going to translate into next season once they get the spacing that Steph and Clay provide. He is a great rim runner. He's a really good, as you've talked about many times, he's really good at the dribble handoffs. He can be kind of that fulcrum in the Warriors offense. And to me, he kind of provides the best of both worlds in terms of what a guy like JaVale McGee provided as a lob threat, but also what a guy like Andrew Bogut or David West provided as a fulcrum of that offense. So to me, if I'm Bob Myers, I'm going into next season thinking, you know what? I'm totally okay with a 22, 23-year-old Marquese Chriss as my starting center. That is not near the top of my to-do list for this summer. And that allows them other spots to use on adding point guard depth and wing depth. And yeah, maybe you do want to add another center, but it doesn't need to be a starting caliber center.
And it doesn't force their hand into drafting James Wiseman, so they can really go ahead and pick the best player available. And if they think that's James Wiseman, then go for it. But it does allow them to do that. And you hit on a couple things there, but really quick, 21 points and 10 rebounds for Marquese Chriss. He goes 8 for 10 from the field overall. Six of those shots were in the restricted area. The other two makes were in the paint still. He took one three-pointer, which I think was at the end of a shot clock. It like doesn't even count. It was like heave. You can get rid of that. So you could really kind of look at him as 8 for 9 in the game overall, which is pretty damn good. And that's sort of the efficiency that he's been having. And you mentioned there, I mean, this all does really project well. And I mean, part of the reason he's on the team in the first place is because he played well next to Steph Curry in preseason. And he's going to get Steph Curry back here on March 1st, most likely. And he's going to get to keep doing this. And he's so much better now than he was in the preseason. Like, that's going to be a really good duo, I think, for the rest of this season. And, again, projecting forward for next season when it really matters. And that projects well with Klay Thompson, too.
He turns 23 in July, you know, which is around the start of free agency. To me, this is a guy who is proving that he can be a legitimate building block of this franchise. He is so skilled. And the thing that's surprised me the most is, you know, he had a lot of knocks on him for his basketball IQ, his feel for the game, in his stops with Houston and Cleveland and Phoenix. And to me, those are totally unfair. I've been incredibly impressed by his just natural understanding of where to be on the court. And as the season's progressed, you've seen him get more and more comfortable. And I really think that you can't underestimate how important it is for a guy who was staring down the potential demise of his career. You know, this is a former lottery pick. He had to accept a non-guaranteed training camp invite to even have a chance at resuscitating his NBA career. That is the ultimate motivating factor, and I don't think you can underestimate how much that can help a young guy like this make the most of an opportunity. I think the Warriors have seen that on several occasions recently, and it's really playing out with Marquise.
And it's the reason why when he was waived against Sacramento, of all places, in Sacramento on January 6th, that he decided, you know what, if I do clear waivers, I'm not going to sign anywhere else. I want to go back to the Warriors, even if it's on a two-way contract, because they know how to use me. And he was right when he said, and he told KNBR earlier on Tuesday, it wasn't about the money at that point, that if he can establish himself now, then he'll have plenty of opportunity to make money in the future. And that's a really, like, that's great maturity from a guy who's about to be 23 years old. I mean, that's a really good view of things. And I think he's right, because you look at where he came from in Phoenix, Houston, Cleveland. I mean, he's just used wrong the entire time. And now he's being used correctly. And look, he's going to be on a minimum-ish contract next year. But it's that contract after that, after a season when the Warriors are probably going to make the playoffs and be considered a Western Conference contender. Like, that's going to be his contract year. I mean, he's setting himself up really well. Let's get to our stat of the game after this. There are a lot of interesting stats from this game, and I think a lot of people point to the Warriors shooting 14.3% from three-point range. They go 4 for 28 overall, but I'm more interested in talking about what the Kings did from their shooting percentages. They go 13 of 30 from three-point range, which is okay, 43%. That's a nice clip. But they go they shoot 52.6% overall. And the reason I wanted to use this as the stat of the game is because the Warriors had they had given up a lot of points to the Kings guards this season. Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, Bogdan Bogdanovic, all those guys have been getting those guys a lot of trouble. And over the course of this week, Ron Adams and Jaren Collins have been drilling the Warriors' youngsters on closing out and hitting your rotations and being in the right place on help defense. And not only closing out on rotations and closing out on shooters, but being in the right place before the pass is made to Buddy Hield. Like, the Kings like to run a lot of picks in transition to get their shooters open, and it can create some cross matchups and stuff like that. And I think the Warriors had a really hard time guarding that. And they, again, even despite getting drilled on that throughout over the course of the week, they still had problems with that tonight, Connor. And this three-point shooting is the three-point shooting defense for the Warriors has been an issue all season long. Maybe it gets a little bit better when Klay Thompson comes back. Oh, it will when Klay Thompson gets back. Andrew Wiggins should help that a little bit. But when it comes to if these young guys are not going to be able to close out on shooters, they're not going to be able to play when games really matter regardless.
Yeah, you hit on what to me is going to be the biggest concern and question mark entering next season is, you know, I think the general narrative this season has been relatively positive given their record in terms of what they've gotten out of these cheap young guys and how many young guys can project as potential rotation guys next season. But how many of them have proven they can be consistent defenders?
I mean, not a lot.
Not even Marquise, who we've just spent most of this podcast raving about.
Right.
So
even Damian Lee at times tonight, who's supposed to be the mature one in the room, but he's 26 years old, was out of position a lot tonight. Like, I don't know. Jordan Poole has definitely gotten better at that end. I mean, he was just so bad at the beginning of the year. Like I don't know that he's ready to play meaningful minutes defensively next season. I mean, I don't know. I mean, even Kai Bowman, who is like the 94 feet god, like he was like in a half court setting, he's not very good.
No, physically, he's not an elite defender just because of his lack of length and size. I do think he has the will, he has the want to, but a lot of this is just about physical matchups. And so I'm not sold he can be not an elite defender, but even an above average defender on a consistent basis. And so there's a lot of questions there, but you would hope that once Klay comes back, you know, once Draymond is feeling right, and once Andrew Wiggins is getting more comfortable in the defensive system, that those other guys can kind of just fall into place. And look, we can't underestimate how big of an upgrade bringing in Andrew Wiggins was defensively over D'Angelo Russell, who's one of the worst defenders in the NBA.
No, I mean, it definitely helps. And look, going into this game, the Warriors were allowing the biggest three-point percentage differential in the league. Teams shoot 2.6 better from behind the arc than they do on their average, which leads the league. And so that's bad for the Warriors. That's not a category you want to be leading the league in. Look, Andrew Wiggins, obviously an improvement. Klay Thompson, you bring him back, obviously an improvement. Those two guys alone are going to help that. I just wonder, is that what the Warriors end up looking for this offseason? I know we always talk about that length and what they missed with Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, and the ball handling and the offense that they missed with Kevin Durant leaving and all this stuff. But more so than anything, it might be that. It might be we can't allow teams to shoot like this the way they have all season against us from three-point range, because if they do that, we're dead. Even with Steph and Klay healthy, we can't our 2 3-point shooters can't beat 4 or 5 3-point shooters on a night-to-night basis.
Right. I definitely think that they need to go get at least a couple more defensive-minded guys. And honestly, the good thing about defense is you can go get those guys on minimum contracts. You know, you can get, you know, that he's not in the league anymore, but the kind of those Bruce Bowen types where, you know, they're not going to score a lot, and because of that, they're not necessarily going to sign a big contract, but, you know, they can be very helpful defensively. And I know a guy we've talked about before, Glenn Robinson III, who could be available on a minimum this summer. He's not an elite defender, but he proved that he can be a solid matchup on some tough scorers in this league. And if he's not asked to be that go-to defender, but is more of a complimentary piece on that side of the ball, you got to think he's going to thrive in that role.
I want to get to some more stats from the box score. Andrew Wiggins, 6 of 14 overall for 16 points. He bounced back from a bad night. You know, I think 16 points on 14 shots isn't great, but he did go 0 for 3 from three-point range on a night where nobody was making three-pointers. It was just one of those nights. Steve Kerr said it after the game. The ball just wasn't going down tonight. It happens. Eric Paschal, 5 for 8 for 12 points with 3 rebounds. Damian Lee, 14 points on 9 shots. Jordan Poole, 13 points on 14 shots, but he did have 4 assists. I thought he had an overall okay game, but he almost fouled out. He had 5 fouls, so that's not great. Again, going back to that defense that we were just talking about. And then Kai Bowman with a nice-ish night. I mean, 10 points on 4 for 10 shooting, but somebody had to put up shots tonight.
Right.
And at least he got back into the double digits. So overall, look, the Warriors fell behind by as many as 20. They got blown out by the Kings. But the wins and losses don't matter as much. They fall to 12-46 on the season, and they keep those lottery odds alive. We get to your Twitter questions next. All right, so we end these recap shows with questions from Twitter. You could send them to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or use the hashtag LO Warriors. But today, we're going a little off script. I actually tweeted that whatever Democratic candidate outlaws the kiss cam will get my vote. That is the easiest way to buy my vote. And it got a lot of backlash on Twitter, Connor, and I don't know why. The kiss cam is gross. It's voyeuristic. It is unsettling to the greatest degree. And I don't know why it continues to be a part of the sports world and in every freaking Jumbotron that you go to. Every game, there is a kiss cam. It is disgusting and ridiculous, and I don't want to see it anymore.
I completely agree with you. I've never understood why we need to have that. It's what is the enjoyment factor of watching people kiss? People that you don't even know, people, it's just, I don't understand it. And like you said, it can be very gross. I mean, you have a lot of these older men who are, you know, sticking their tongues down their wives' throat. It's like, dude, like, I didn't come here for that. Like,
there's so many better things we could do with that time on the Jumbotron in 2020. I just think, like, it is insane to me. And when I tweeted that, I got so much crap. And I got some crap from other media folks.
I didn't know
folks.
That. Because most of my friends, people I talk to about this, are all very anti-kiss cam. So I learned tonight that people are passionately in favor of it, which is obviously why it still exists. But I don't understand. Are we in our own little world where maybe we're just overly judgmental about other people kissing?
I just don't want to see it. I'm like,
I wouldn't want other people to see me kissing. I don't want to see you kissing. And like, it
look,
just
I have a problem with the couple at the bar that are like kind of smooching, and it's like, do that on your own time.
I've never been a fan of PDA.
Go into your bedroom.
I just don't do that
over
appreciate
there.
It.
Why are you doing it out here? Why do we need this to happen?
Nah, it's
So I think there are way better things that we could do with the Kiss Cam. Even just like a high five cam or like a dap cam or a hug cam or something.
No.
Just, like, I'm not even.
All that stuff.
This isn't, by the way, this is not a PC thing. This is not a snowflake thing. This is not because I've lived in California for 6 years. This is because it's gross and I don't want to see it. And it literally makes me want to throw up. And I don't.
I literally
get it off the biggest screen in the arena.
Every time.
I went to the bathroom.
I can't watch it.
I went to the bathroom. I didn't have to pee. I went to the bathroom. I just went.
Yeah, you seemed viscerally upset.
I was.
I sit next to you on press row, and you could tell it really bothered you.
And everybody else didn't have a problem. Let me know what you think about the Kiss Cam, and if you are joining the coalition to outlaw it, maybe we can get a petition started. That'd be a good thing to do. Petitions happen all the time in California. We can get another one going. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Thanks for listening.